Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to another episode of Hacks and Hobbies. And today, I'm thrilled to introduce a guest whose work has been instrumental in transforming the way we think about events. Phil Mershon is the Director of Experience, a social media examiner, and the author of the insightful book Unforgettable, The Art and Science of Creating Memorable Experiences. Phil, it's so great to have you here today.
Hey, it's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What's funny is that we've been connected for a few years now, and I love all the events that you've put together, especially being part of social media marketing world over the past few years. It's always, there we go, it's right on your shirt. It's always been an experience, and it's almost like hanging out with people from all walks of life in marketing and podcasting and YouTube. And it's just awesome it's like a homecoming, getting to meet all the people.
Absolutely, it is. And it's something that has grown. I forget, how many years have you been there?
So my first year was 2022, then okay. I went 23, skipped last year, and then I came there this year.
Okay, excellent.
So Phil, you've had a fascinating journey from playing jazz saxophone to designing large-scale events. Can you share how your background in music influenced your approach to creating memorable experiences?
Yeah, and I would say it actually starts further back than jazz music, although music has been part of my life for sure ever since about second grade. Mm-hmm. But my first job out of college, I worked for Boeing Airlines on the military side, programming computers. And during that time, I experienced a class called Total Quality Management. And the way that guy led the session with brainstorming and collaboration, I said, I want to do that someday. Mm-hmm. So I had that as a goal. Next place I went was a nonprofit where I did get to use some of those skills, but the place I did use them was working for a large oil and gas company called Koch Industries, where I was a corporate trainer. And I got to do that for 2 and 3 day events. And that's where I started to shape my idea of experience. But then I went back to school for a music degree and then served in churches doing worship for about 25 years total, between volunteer and part-time and full-time roles. And I would say the combination of putting on a weekly service as well as doing workshops and seminars, plus that corporate experience, really shaped the way that I look at experience in a way that's unique from many of the other event planners that are out there.
Now, that's really powerful, especially having that early experience and going through that event for this trainer was really had everybody engaged. That's what inspired you to go into that route as well. And it's these mentors and these trainers or these people in our lives that inspire us to where we end up going to. Now, talk to me about your book, Phil. What led you to write Unforgettable? And what gap in the market were you aiming to fill with this book?
I'm going to share a little bit of the backstory. When I was in high school taking English, the last thing I ever would have thought I would do is write a book, because I did not like English. But I got to college and my writing professor there unlocked that possibility, but I still would never have dreamt of writing a book. It wasn't until grad school where I had a professor saying, Phil, I think you're going to write multiple books someday. Now that's 2001, 2002. Fast forward to 2017, that's when I got the bug. That's when I said, you know what? A friend actually said, Phil, you need to document your process. And I didn't know what he meant, but that started a process of saying, what is my process? What is my method? What am I doing intuitively that I need to put out there for our staff to understand, but also maybe is going to be valuable to the world? And so that began a process of writing. 2019, I came under contract with Morgan James, and then I was planning second quarter 2020 to start writing in earnest. And you all know what happened in the first quarter of 2020, and that blew up my plans. Oh, yeah. But it actually gave me time to continue to think about what is the experience that we're creating and how is that different from what's happening at most events. So one of my core tenets is that most events are boring, not in the sense that they put you to sleep, but in the sense that they don't transform you in the way that was intended, because we as event planners get in our own way. We think this is really cool. We miss the places where people most need to feel like they belong. And if people don't feel like they belong, they're going to tune out what you're saying. And speakers, I was talking to a speaker yesterday, they say things that get people to tune out and they don't even realize they've done it. And so those are the kinds of things that I said, I need to help fix that problem. One book is not going to fix it, but I wanted to at least begin making a contribution, and it's going to ideally lead to other books. This is the start. I've got other books that I want to write. I know the next one. I assume there's more after that, but I know what the next one's going to be about.
I love it, Phil. Thank you so much. Now, here's the book. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the book. We'll also have the link to the book in the show notes, but it's called Unforgettable, The Art of Science of Creating Memorable Experiences. Thank you, Phil, for putting this together, because I love creating unforgettable experiences as well. As a father, as a parent, you want to create these experiences for your children. And we've done a really great job in our backyard where they can go from trampoline to ninja to swings and whatnot. But how do we do that with podcasting? How do we do that where we're bringing people into our door, for example, the social media marketing world? And every single time that I visited, I've had an unforgettable experience because I remember the people that I met. I remember the experience that I have. And in fact, for the first one that I joined, I even joined the choir to sing the little thing, the virtual choir, to record a version of the song with me. And so that was a really unforgettable experience that I cannot, it's in the back of my mind always. Okay, that was really cool. So it's awesome that you were able to bring all of that to keep that attention, keep that engagement going.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we do is we think through every step of the way, just like with your kids, you're thinking, you know, what are the things that are going to appeal to them? Or like a great podcast, that if you have a good hook, a good first experience, it's going to make people want to stay longer.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good hook, they're more likely to check out and leave. And you obviously look at your data and you know when that's happening. Just the same thing happens at an event. You had that experience when you walked in the building and you were greeted warmly and we led you. And if you unfortunately got to a place where you were in one of the long lines, then that starts to put a negative taste in your mouth. And
yeah,
I think in 2022 is one of the years that happened. And so we saw that happen. And said, next year, we've got to fix that because that's not a great way to start an event. And we're not perfect. Our event's not perfect. We're constantly learning. And great event planners, producers are doing that. Events are a living organism. And you're constantly looking at what worked, what didn't, where are people having the experience that we hoped that they would have?
Yeah.
How can we anticipate those moments where they might check out, where they might be inclined to leave? And so those are the kinds of things that we try to fix.
Now, Phil, in today's digital age, we all know, and we've been reminded literally every single day with apps creating shorter and shorter videos because the attention spans are getting shorter than ever. Why do you believe creating memorable experiences is crucial for events and brands?
Yeah, people, it's like Maya Angelou said, people don't remember what you said. They remember how you made them feel. And yeah, I think experiences are one of those things that people want to feel. They want to do something that they can't do at home. And events create the opportunity when you gather people and you orchestrate something that isn't in their ordinary experience, they're likely to remember it. And the two main results of that are they're going to sign up for next year, like you've done. You're going to say, I had a great experience. I'm coming back next year. There's no doubt in my mind. That is one of the things, retention. But the other is they can't stop talking about it. Word of mouth, marketing. You want to create experiences that people go home and they talk about. And hopefully it's not only the party, not only that I sang karaoke, not only that I sang in the virtual choir, but it's like the content was amazing. I got this and this. The conversations that I had in the hallway made it worth it going. Those are the things you hope people talk about. The other are like fun. But if it's only fun, the boss may not say, oh, I'm paying for next year. So you got to have both and, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Phil. You're 100% right. It's the entirety of the experience, not just the fun part, but also the conversation that are had in the lunch tables, at the lunch line, or in the hallways while you're getting to talk to a speaker after their talk, or getting to talk to other people about what you just learned. It's just amazing because it's that shared experience. It's that shared learned moment that they just got through. Now, I would love to hear an example of an event that left a lasting impression on attendees and what made it so impactful.
An event that wasn't mine?
Yeah. An event that was okay. Not yours.
This one is not something that people can reproduce, but there's elements that you can. In 2019, I went on something called a secret family reunion. We didn't know where we were going. We had to get passports if we didn't have a current passport. And we had to say, I can't tell you where I'm going, but this letter tells you where I'm going. We showed up in the TWA hotel in New York City outside JFK, and we had a big unveil. And then we hopped on a private plane with 80-some people, and we flew to Tuscany. And so just even that start, the anticipation of, I wonder where I'm going, the only people I knew were the two hosts. Like I walked in knowing three people, actually four. I didn't know the fourth one was going to be there. I knew four people out of 80-some people, but I had a high level of trust in those people. And then throughout it, we were creating experiences. There were no formal sessions. There was not an agenda in advance. We're going to learn about this and this. Instead, what they did on the first day is they said, okay, here's some sticky notes. Put up on the board something that you want to talk about and a conversation that you're willing to lead. And people put up lots of ideas, and then they curated from that agendas of, okay, here are the things that you all want to talk about. And then we did all kinds of other things where we could continue talking. We went truffle hunting. We did wine tasting. We went and picked olives. We made pizza. All these experiences that are unique to Italy, we did them with our peers, and that led to memory formation. The 13-hour trip that we took there and back led to conversations. Literally, the conversation I'm having after this episode today is with one of those people that I rode next to. And we're talking about business collaborations. So that's 6 years later that this is happening. And so it formed long-term friendships. It created memories. It created conversations that, frankly, they're in my book. If you read the book, you will see multiple references to that trip, because it made such a profound impact. Now, can most of us do that? Can we rent a private jet? Probably not. That's a big ask. But what we can do is create experiences like that, where people are riveted together. They forget about the rest of their life. There's things that you're doing there. It's like hunting for truffles. Wherever you go, there's something unique like that available that you can only do in that destination. Why not create an experience around that as opposed to doing the same old?
Man, that's so powerful. And you're absolutely right. Creating that ultimate experience that people got to bond over and then do these things together, it's going to create those lasting experiences in your mind. And I haven't had anything remotely close to that, but there were different events that I went with, let's say Cub Scouting, where you're together, but then you're doing different activities. And that's something that sticks. So really powerful. Phil, let's switch gears for a moment with some rapid fire questions. Now, you mentioned wishing you'd gotten into skydiving. What draws you to that experience?
It's a joke, by the way. In 2018, I broke my wrist. And so I was wearing a cast and I was telling the story of what I did. I broke it roller skating. And people said, Phil, that story is boring. You need to come up with a much better story. And so I thought about it for a minute and said, oh, okay, I got it. I was the double in the 07 meeting or movie. And I was jumping out of a plane skydiving and I didn't quite get the landing right and I broke my wrist. But there's actually another parallel. One of my common dreams that I have is that I have this ability to fly, not quite like Superman with a cape, but I can jump up and I can hover in the air and I can fly. So that sensation is deeply embedded in me for some reason. I've never skydived, as far as I know. I've never actually flown, but it is a recurring dream.
That's so fun, Phil. Now, what's cool is I've had only a little bit of experience of skydiving with indoor skydiving where they've got this huge fan underneath. That was a pretty fun experience. And I was like, if this is what it feels like skydiving, sign me up. Outside of the scare of falling at terminal speed towards Earth. Now, Phil, Lord of the Rings is a favorite of yours. What about that story resonates with you?
It's funny. I'm actually rereading The Hobbit even right now. And I remember clear back to fifth grade when my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Sanders, read us that book from cover to cover. So it's one of those stories that's been part of my life for 50 years. But I think what resonates is there's this sense of good against evil. There's the underdog who becomes the hero. And then just the sense of adventure and what's going to come next and what is he going to try. It's like there's this constant intrigue of, I wonder what's going to happen now. And Tolkien does such a great job of crafting this other world. I think that's part of it too, is you feel like you've entered into Middle Earth. It's nothing like the world that we live in. And so you can get caught up in it. I remember as high school or college, I read all three books in the trilogy cover to cover in a matter of weeks, staying up until 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. 'Cause it's one of those kind of books that you just can't put down. So one more chapter. So I think it's got that element too, is it transfixes you and transports you into this other space.
Now, Phil, this is going to be a fun question. If you could design an event in any fictional universe, which would it be and why? And I know we just talked about a totally new universe, Middle Earth. It'd be really interesting to hear your answer.
That would be a fascinating place to do it, because we already have examples of events that took place there, like Bilbo's birthday, you know, the 100, he didn't call it the 111th, whatever he called it, 11Zs or whatever that was. So there are examples there of people being invited, not being invited, and how do you curate a unique experience? The coronation of Aragorn being another example. I think with all the different kinds of people, it'd either be there or it'd be in Narnia. I love the Chronicles of Narnia. And being there with Aslan in one of the castles and imagining the kind of experiences that could be created there with all these talking creatures that we don't normally get to talk with. So that would be unexpected in and of itself. And then in the presence of this regal king who has a divine element to him, I think that would be a very unique experience to be there. So I think either one of those places, I would be happy to create an experience.
I love it, Phil. Thank you so much. And I love the fact that you shared around the Lord of the Ring trilogy, The Hobbit. He's absolutely created a brand new universe that you can step into. And is it Universal Studios, or I don't know if they've created an in-person event. I mean, I know they've done Harry Potter universe in Universal Studios, but we don't have this yet anywhere.
I don't think so. And I'm not sure if Tolkien's relatives have forbid it or they just don't know how to do it.
Actually,
fascinating.
What I do remember is there's the Hobbit, the actual set that they set up in New Zealand is what you can visit. Yes. So I guess that's the closest that you can go to it. Now, Phil,
that's a bucket list place for me.
There we go. We got bucket list items coming up. Now, Phil, this has been an enlightening discussion. Thank you so much for your time. In our next episode, we're going to delve deeper into the specific frameworks you've developed in Unforgettable and how event planners can apply them effectively. Can you give our listeners a sneak peek of what's to come?
We will talk about the Unforgettable framework, which goes through 3 M's. Unforgettable requires 3 things. It needs to be memorable, meaningful, and momentous. And we'll unpack what each one of those things means and how to take a framework to help you take different elements of your event and make them unforgettable.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Phil. appreciate your time. And guys, be sure to tune into the next episode for more actionable insights. That's it for today, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.